In these verses that are before us this morning, we see more of the profile of Jesus Christ. The profile of Jesus Christ. We get more of a picture of our salvation through the work of Christ on the cross. We get a fuller picture and a fuller understanding of the wonderful work of salvation that took place when Jesus laid down his life for us. And this is why we are brought together each Lord's Day to sing his praises and to give thanks to God every time we meet for these wonderful truths. And these wonderful truths are brought out beautifully in this passage of Scripture that's before us today. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, that's we are born in flesh and blood, he, that's Jesus Christ himself, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Amen. Amen. Well, we've already studied in the first couple of chapters of Hebrews that angels are created spirits. Angels have no bodies. Angels cannot die. Jesus did not come to this earth to save angels. He came to save humans, you and I. He came to save sinners from the hand of Satan. As we read in John chapter 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have everlasting life. Not everyone, but whosoever should believe in him. Now this means that Jesus had to become flesh and blood. He had to become a man like you and I. He had to put on flesh and blood. He had to become man. Only then could he die and through his death defeat Satan. You see, when Jesus hung on that cross, he paid the wages of our sin. And what is the wages of sin? The wages of sin, according to the laws of God, is death. And as God, Jesus couldn't die. As God, Jesus couldn't die. So now we see the Christmas story come to life. He took on a body of flesh so that he could pay the price to reconcile us back to God, to redeem us from our sins. That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. He had to take on death. He had to die. And through his death he would defeat Satan. Death we need to understand here is a power that has its sanction from God himself. Death is a power that has its sanction from God himself. In that man, when he turned from God, the giver of life, we all know about creation, how God formed man out of the dust of the earth and he breathed life into man. He was the giver of life. And man turned to Satan and self and fell under the power of death in the Garden of Eden. If we were to look back into Genesis chapter 3, verse 3, you shall not eat of the tree in the midst of the garden. You shall not touch the tree in the midst of the garden, or you will surely die. You cannot get much clearer instruction than that from God. God has laws. And every time we break God's laws, it's called sin, and we're sinning against Almighty God. We might not be breaking the laws of the land, we're breaking the laws of God. God holds the keys to heaven and hell, and to break God's laws sets you on the path to hell. Jesus Christ took on flesh to deal with the sins of man that was taking him to hell. This is profound, and we need to understand all that Jesus has done. It makes our worship so much more meaningful and heartfelt to know what Jesus has done personally for each one of us today. Death is a power that had its sanction from God himself, in that man, when he turned from God, the giver of life, to Satan and to self, fell under the power of death. And what happened when Eve was tempted, enticed by the serpent in the garden? She looked at the fruit of the tree and she said, it's good for the eye, good for the stomach, and the pride of life, it'll make me wise. It was all about me. And I'm not blaming Eve. Adam ate too. And what did Adam do the first thing when God confronted him? Look at that woman you gave me, God. It was her fault, God. Straight away. And that blame game's gone on down through the centuries today. That man had yielded himself to Satan, and Satan had power over him. And this all come through the lust of the flesh. And just as a jailer keeps a prisoner under the authority of the king, you do something wrong, you're given over and put into jail, and the jailer has authority over you while you're in jail. So Satan, in like manner, holds the sinner in the power of death. He holds the sinner in the power of death for as long as there is no true legal release given. We haven't served our term in jail, so no release is going to be given to man. And we understand, looking back at what happened at Calvary that time, that until Jesus come, no ransom had been paid. We're stuck in this jail. We're facing death. The jailer is Satan. He holds dominion over us. The only way to be free from Satan's power was to get rid of our fallen nature. We had to come out of the sinful life by dying to it. By dying to it. And man had no power to do this. We were helpless, caught up in sin, on our way to hell, and could do nothing about it. Enter Jesus Christ. Enter Jesus Christ. Here we see the love of God in action for our sins. Jesus fulfilled all the conditions of our fallen nature. This is why he took on flesh. He took on flesh so he could fulfill the conditions of our flesh. He entered into our death when he died on the cross. He shed his blood on the cross. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The laws of God tell us or teach us. He entered into our death, the penalty of sin, and he endured it to the very end, satisfying the laws of God. Satisfying the laws of God. It's interesting, isn't it? From my own experience, you think of Jesus Christ every Christmas and you think of this lovely little baby. And then we pick up the scriptures and we read through the Gospels and we see the miracles and the teachings of Christ, and then we see him going to the cross. When he came, when he left all the glories of heaven, he came to earth to cover himself in flesh and blood, to cover himself in all the infirmities that we have and we face and we live in every day. He came to be like us, so he could feel for us, so he could know how we are and how we react. He endured it all, dying on the cross, satisfying the laws of God. Because the law was the strength of sin. God gave the laws, the Ten Commandments, for instance. And that showed that when you crossed that line and committed a sin against one of the Ten Commandments, the wages of sin is death. It's quite clear. If we go out and hop in our car today and speed, the policeman pulls us up, we are gone, we are caught. We've got a fine to pay. The wages for these breaking of the laws of God was death. Because the law was the strength of sin. Jesus took from sin and the devil. He took from them the power of death over us. When he died on the cross in our place, he took from Satan the power of death over us. This is the believer I'm speaking to today. He died in the flesh to fulfill the law, yielding up his spirit to the Father. He died in the flesh to fulfill the law of God, yielding up his spirit to the Father. Thus death as the penalty of sin in the law, death as the end of the life of nature, of man, death as the power of Satan, our jailer holding us, the power of Satan over man, was all destroyed when Christ died on the cross. And this was and is for every believer. So we see the depth of why Christ had to be born of a virgin, covered in flesh and blood, and all the infirmities of man, so that he could pay the price and pay it fully and destroy the power of Satan over every believer. The power of death and the devil is now completely broken. There is now perfect deliverance from the fear of death that keeps so many today in bondage, because they do not call on him for mercy. They do not call on him for mercy. So the question we come to now is, are we living in the full experience of this blessed truth that Christ has died for me? He took on my flesh so that he could die for me and fulfill the law of God. The wages of sin is death. He took my death upon the cross. So the question I ask myself today is, am I living in Christ? Am I living in Christ? Am I dead to the old self? Am I putting away all the sinless, lustful life of a carnal person on this earth? a non-believer? Am I living in Christ? Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." The death and burial and resurrection of Christ has given the believer the victory. And if we turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 to 58, and we read there, so when this corruptible, this body of flesh that I live in today is corruptible. Oh, yes. Our bodies, the body of flesh is corruptible. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, what's incorruption? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Paul said, in the body I sin, in the spirit I love the Lord. And it's the body of flesh that he's fighting with. The spirit of Jesus Christ in Paul was fighting against the body of flesh, the lust of the flesh. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible, this is body of flesh, this is 54 now, has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So there is the key to why Jesus took on a body of flesh and died on the cross. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. The scriptures are beautiful. The scriptures give us a picture of things that we might not normally see with regards to Christ. In verses 16 to 18 of this morning's reading, "For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham." Who's the seed of Abraham? Each one who is a believer. "Therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren," have a body of flesh, "that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest," better than Eli, "in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." He made payment for the sins of the people. "For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted," taking on a body of flesh, he knows our temptations. "He is able to aid those who are being tempted." The angels, as pure spirits and never having suffered, cannot identify with us in our weaknesses and our needs. But Jesus can identify with us because he took on a body of flesh. "And while he was on earth, he, like his brethren or fellow man, he experienced, while yet being sinless, he experienced the infirmities of human nature. He was a helpless baby. He was a growing child. He knew the experience of weariness and hunger and thirst. In John chapter 4, verse 6. John chapter 4, verse 6. "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat by the well." By the well. It was about the sixth hour. That was the story we read about where the woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink. Give me a drink." He felt all the infirmities of human nature. He went out into the desert after the great Sermon on the Mount. He went out into the desert and he fasted there 40 days and 40 nights. And he was hungry. What was the first thing that came that Satan used to entice Jesus? He said to Jesus, "Turn these stones into bread. You've been 40 days without food. Turn these stones into bread and worship me." Jesus said, "You shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord." And here we have the scriptures given to us by our Lord and Saviour to give us a picture, to give us understanding, to give us a sense of victory while we face all the temptations that surround us every day on this earth. He knew what it was like to be despised. He knew what it was like to be rejected. We all read about how he was falsely accused and then he suffered and died. This was his preparation for his heavenly ministry as our high priest. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven as our high priest. And boy, we know now that he understands everything that we're going through today, tomorrow, next week, and last week, and the great things that have happened in our lives and caused despair and heartache in our lives in the past and in the future. He knows. He's felt it. Jesus Christ is both merciful and faithful. He's merciful towards people and faithful to God. And he can never fail in his ministry. He made the sacrifice needed that we might be reconciled to God. This was not for himself. Not for himself. Remember, he was sinless. There was no need of a sacrifice for the sinless. So when we as believers are tempted to sin, he stands ready to help. He has defeated every enemy. He has defeated even death and is able to give us the grace we need to overcome temptation today. And how does he do that? He does that by entering into man with his life and his spirit, the Holy Spirit. This is why we talk about being born again, receiving the Spirit of God into our hearts. And when we receive the Spirit of God into our hearts, he is imparting into man his own goodness and power. Remember, Jesus said, "I'm going to the Father. I will send you the Comforter who will guide you." Imparting into man his own goodness and power, and to bring man into union with himself. Into union with himself. This is the work of the Holy Spirit we have within us today. Angels serve us, but Jesus is able to secure us, to bring help when it is needed, to save us to the uttermost for all of eternity. Know this, Jesus is both our high priest and our advocate. As high priest, he gives us grace to keep us from sinning. And if we do sin, then he is our advocate who represents us before the throne of God and forgives us when we sincerely confess our sins before him. Before him. This ministry of Jesus Christ is our guarantee to eternal salvation. When Jesus became man, he did not become inferior to the angels. He did not become inferior to the angels. But in human form, he accomplished something the angels could never accomplish. And at the same time, he made it possible for us to share in his glory. He is our Lord for all of eternity. And I want to close this morning with a reading from 1 John. 1 John, it's on page 1730. of our Bibles. Chapter 1, verse 5. John was on the Isle of Patmos, and he wrote this letter. And in it he says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare it to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." We do not practice the truth. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." What a saviour. What a saviour. "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." John goes on and he says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." For the whole world. Amen.